Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, of course, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Sitting beside me, of course, is my faithful companion, my studio dog, Mei Ling, and she just raised her head up. I guess she's interested, but I don't think she's much interested. But that's just how she is. She's a little standoffish, and that's okay. Tonight, we have a great guest on. I'm very excited. I'm a little starstruck. I really, it's one of my favorite artists I've heard so far this year. And I know it's only February, but still, she's phenomenal. I really, really dig her music. And tonight, all the way from New York City, we've got Birch. How are you, Birch?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, it's interesting. You do, it's weird. And it's so strange because, like, your generation, the whole millennial generation, one of the things I love about you guys is that you guys are not genre specific. But when they send me press kits and stuff, like whatever PR company I'm dealing with, they always put the genre, you know, cause so we can index it for Apple Podcasts and all this and that. Now, yours says synth pop and indie. And mm-hmm. So when I first saw that, I went, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. And you know, I clicked play and I don't know, I was expecting Erasure or something like that. Maybe some Depeche Mode sounding. Didn't get that at all. Got better. And I look forward to your emails, everyone. Not putting either of those bands down. I'm just saying, I got more of a St. Vincent type vibe, although it's totally different than that. But I really, really liked it. Your music is very full. Just full. There's a lot to it.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing music? Because it almost sounds like there's like some classical influence just in the structure, how it's put together, you know?
Yeah. I studied composition in college. I've been songwriting forever since I was like a little kid in my room with my guitar. Then I went to college and studied composition and somehow merged the two once I graduated and started Birch about 4 years ago.
Wow, fantastic. Well, obviously you know what you're doing because it really, really is fantastic.
Thank you.
I said, there's a lot of layers to it. I really enjoyed it. We're going to play a little later in the show here, Spelling Lessons. But the first time I listened to it, you know, I almost wanted to stop and start taking notes because it was so many little things. I remember this was a few weeks ago, but so I might have the time stuff. About 2 minutes in, it was like this little guitar piece, just like plucking came in. And I'm like, well, that's a cool thing to have in there. And this is happening and that's happening. And I just really, I appreciate it. If it was a painting, it would be an involved, realistic painting, you know?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now, you said you were writing. Tell us a little bit about young Birch growing up and whatnot. Always into music? Did you know you were going to be an entertainer when you were younger?
No, I wanted to. It seemed like a kind of a pipe dream. So, that was always like the career that, you know, if someone asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say a singer. I want to be a singer. But, you know, I grew up in a kind of suburban town in Connecticut where everybody put on a suit every day and went to the city and went to work. So I sort of figured that I, you know, didn't really have that option. But I was always writing music in my room before I could even play guitar. I was just writing lyrics and singing them. I still, like, some of them are still seared in my memory. It's embarrassing. But I was really into like pop artists of the 90s. I grew up on my parents, like, they were really into like the singer songwriter guitarist, like James Taylor was always playing in my house, and you know, I liked them because it made me feel, you know, made me feel like home, family. But then my bread and butter was Spice Girls They were like my first massive favorite.
Did you
so
have
I
a favorite? That's what the public wants to know.
Well, sorry, did I have a favorite Spice Girl? Oh, God. I love Sporty Spice, but
my
then I also
Danny
love Baby
did.
Spice.
They're all good. They're all good. I forgot to call her. I called her my girlfriend. My fiance, Danny, that Sporty and Scary were her two that she stole.
Oh,
and still
Scary.
Still about to him in the car.
Yeah, they're just great. So,
see, I was always partial to Posh, but everybody's like, of course, Jamie, of course.
Of course,
give me
of course you were. All the boys liked Posh. We get it.
Oh, yeah. And are you going to go see their reunion tour? That's another big question.
Oh, my God. I haven't looked into it, but I really should.
It would be a fun weekend. Call up some of the old girlfriends and whatnot. Make a thing out of it. It would be crazy.
That'd be so funny. I recently saw Hanson perform. Do you remember Hanson?
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They played this thing in Stamford, and it's this, like, it's called Alive at 5, and it's, like, kind of, I don't want to say it, like, has-beens, but, you know, a lot of people kind of, like, come back through. And Hanson played, and it was, like, their 20th anniversary, and I just went, and it was, I think it was, like, free, and I went, and I was like, oh, this will be funny. And I literally, like, my mind went back to, like, me at 8 years old. Like, right. Suddenly I was just, like,
singing
at the top of my lungs. Like, fuck, I love you. Like, what? Like, something came over me.
That's fantastic.
It was painful, but fucking hilarious. Sorry, because I don't know.
Oh, we go to this, at Disney World, at Epcot in Disney World, every year they have these different things. And we go to them. One of them is a thing called the food and wine, and it's a big, you know, for foodies, and it's all this fancy food and stuff, and I'm a big guy, so I like food, but we go to that, and one of the things they have is they have different, exactly what you're talking about, kind of, you know, not first tier performer, great performers,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's been a minute since they, you know, had a top 40 hit or whatnot. But, yeah, Hanson was one of the acts last year. I was looking at they send you an email, like, plan, and we kind of sometimes will, matter of fact, what we did last year, there was I'm sure you know, being a singer and whatnot, the Postmodern Jukebox, they do all the covers and, like, old-timey, they were performing. So we said, oh, well, we need to schedule our rooms and everything around that. So we did. It was a good show.
Nice.
But, yeah. Well, that's cool that you regressed to your now, to get serious, to change gears, we're having fun and whatnot. And talking about when you were young, I got a thing, a quote that was part of your press kit that I got. And I read it and was horrified, frankly, about your new single, Spelling Less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I don't know how I don't know your experience. I don't know the female experience. It just sucks that this kind of shit happens. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to dismiss it or anything and not bring import to it. But, man, I'm sorry you went through that, you know? And I guess we should tell people what this is about. You go ahead and tell the story.
Sure.
First time you were...
The whole album is, I'm calling it like a feminist concept album. So when this particular song was me kind of going back to my first experiences of sexism, I guess. And it was, you know, it's funny because at the time I didn't recognize it as that. But I was in the library and I think I was in sixth grade, really young, whatever. And I bent over to grab a library book and my shirt, the back of my shirt, like, came up a little bit, exposing a part of my back, like my back. That's it. The library.
And you're
was
a sixth grader. What is that? Like 11
yeah.
grade or 11 year old, something like that?
I was young, yeah, like 11, I think.
You're a little kid.
Yeah, I was a little kid. And then the librarian was there and she quickly she basically said, young lady. And I like abruptly turned around and she was like, I won't have you in here distracting the boys. Like, your back is showing. Like, and basically telling me, cover up.
Yeah.
And it was shocking.
And this is a woman.
This is a woman.
Jeez.
And it's not, you know, it's one of those things that in the moment, my friend, she's still my friend today, reached out when she read the story, when the song came out the other week ago, and she was like, I was there. Oh my God, I remember this. And she was like, in the moment, we completely laughed it off. I was like, I was totally embarrassed. My face probably turned bright red. And I was just embarrassed because I didn't understand why I would be distracting the boys. Like, I just didn't get what that meant. So I just quickly felt this sense of shame that, you know, every woman who is hearing this knows. But it's this weird, it's this crazy paradox where we shame girls for boys' behavior, and we tell girls that they need to prevent this behavior rather than going to men to stop the behavior before it happens. And rather than raising our men differently, we are still raising our girls to abide by their, you know. So that's kind of what this whole song's about.
And it's just not cool, you know, and it's just not cool. And you know, there's just a code. And this will probably, you know, I'm a bit older than you. I was a child of the 80s. But even then, you know, I read this story and I was thinking back, and stuff like that used to happen, you know, and
yeah.
I remember, I didn't think about it at the time, you know, being a kid and whatnot, but you look back with the, through the lens of, experience, you know, just not cool, you know, I had
and those are the seeds, you know, those are the seeds that are planted in like, in our as children, and that's what grows into all the horrific things that we're seeing now, you know, and the whole Me Too movement is based around that. But this starts when we're kids and we're taught that girls are here for boys, and like we exist for them, and we have to kind of fit into their world rather than fitting into each other's world. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously there's differences in genders, I suppose, but it doesn't excuse bad behavior, you know? I mean, there's just, you know, be cool, man. And, you know, I say this as a cat who doesn't have kids, you know, and it's very easy for me to be out at a restaurant or somewhere in public or whatever, and you see something uncool. And, of course, you look at the parent, you know, and it's easy to blame the parents. And I get it. I don't have kids, you know, and who the hell am I to say anything? But I am a member of society, and you know what? Man, don't raise your boys to act like that, you know, or in this case, you know, don't shame a little girl. Are you kidding me? Her shirt. Say, hey, your shirt's up. Pull that down. And then we all move on with our day, and there you go, you know.
Right.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Space. Some regions are vast and empty, other areas we call closets. Fortunately, Kevin from the Container Store has answers.
Right.
Kevin, what gives you the power over space?
I'd say Elfa customizable closets. With free design and Elfa's adjustable shelving and drawers, I can create space in any size closet.
Kevin, master of space and closets.
Or just Kevin. Plus, right now, save 30% on Elfa and installation and earn up to $500 in credit through February 10th.
At the Container Store, where space comes from.
Wait, where is that music coming from?
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming Smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form Smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more. Including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique.com. LapothecaryUnique.com.
And we live in crazy times. You're absolutely right. I was reading an article the other day about, and I'll read the right and left articles just to kind of keep a balanced perspective try to have a balanced perspective, I should say. And, you know, some idiot was on there. And I'm not pulling punches. It was some idiot, right? Saying, well, I don't, you know, with this Me Too movement, I don't even know. Should I not give a coworker a hug? No, you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't.
A coworker.
Exactly.
Yeah. The hell's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
That's creepy as hell,
you know? I love people
you know?
Who are like, should I not compliment women in the street that I don't know? Like, yeah, exactly. You shouldn't be catcalling women. Like, it's terrifying to women.
Oh, my God. You know, and it's so true. It is so true. And it's just, you know, and it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, and I explained it this, you know, I was talking, you know, you go to parties and this or that, you talk to people wherever. And some young guy was saying something about, well, I think a lot of this is blown out of proportion. I said, let me put it this way. I said, you ever been to jail? You ever been to county lockup? And he's like, well, no, but there was this one time I was worried, such and such. I said, well, great, great. So you had the fear of going to jail. And the big fear for all guys of going to jail is, you know, lack of television. No, I'm kidding. It's, you know, getting attacked. Getting attacked, you know, I don't want to get raped in jail. You know, that's the forefront from every male facing incarceration's viewpoint because of, you know, society and movies and TV, whatever. And I'm sure it happened. And I explained to this kid, I said, you realize women, that feeling, that shitty feeling you had, women kind of have that all the time, man, walking down the street. Mm. And they shouldn't have to. You know?
Yeah, wow. That's so interesting. I've never heard it put that way before, but it's so true.
Yeah, you know, oh, well, I'm in a parking garage. Well, you know, somebody might jump out and attack me because they didn't get enough hugs as a kid, have a thing for blondes now,
right.
You know, and a baby suit or what.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just crazy. And it shouldn't be, you know, and I know I live with rose-colored glasses on and stuff, but I listen to your album and your music and whatnot, and, you know, I'm glad it's out there because it makes people think a little bit, you know, and bring attention to this stuff, you know. It should change. I can't believe it's 2019 and it hasn't. That's the part that annoys me. You know?
I know. That's crazy.
People be glad I'm not in charge. That's all I'm saying. There would be a lot of clapping. Oh my gosh. Anywho, so tell me about the inspiration. I guess we've been talking about this. Was it the election that the 2016 election that got you lit the fire, the artistic fire under you to go forward with this project?
Yeah, for this album, that's kind of when I started writing it. The other, actually, my last EP, Not Human was also sort of about the election. I was sort of writing it in the, you know, during the primaries and during like when I'm seeing all of this come to fruition. So there's some feminist elements to that one. And then I kind of decided to go all in once Trump won. I just decided that like I need to make an album about. I was just sort of when he actually won, I was as shocked as so many people were. But oh my God. I truly felt the sense of, you know.
I hate to even think about it.
I know. It's like a terrible memory. But I remember thinking like, okay, if America voted this man into office, clearly they don't care about women. Because so many of us were so triggered by the whole election and seeing him and hearing what he has said on tape and all of these things. Like, he is a sexual predator, but he got elected to president. So I kind of was like, okay, what does it mean to be a woman? Why is this bothering me so much? Like, why does this hurt so much? And so I decided to sort of, like, look back into my own history as a woman, starting from childhood with just spelling lessons up until now, the things that have happened, and sort of do a deep dive into how it feels to be a woman right now. And that's kind of all I can do. Because I do think that other women will understand, and maybe men will somehow understand from hearing about it, hearing about the experiences. It was sort of like, once he won, I was like, all right, I'm doing it. And I just started writing this whole thing, and it was actually not, you know, it was kind of a painful process. It didn't feel great, but I'm happy with it.
As an artist, I'll tell you this. I've heard and read this so many times and found it to be true. When you're creating, and by artists, I mean anybody in the creative field, when you're, you know, making the best brownies in town, you know, when you're working, when you're swimming in the deep end and you're out of your element a little bit and you're maybe approaching subject matters that are a little questionable, that's when the best work seems to come to the forefront, you know? And even that painful introspection and whatnot sucks. Look at the result. You know, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let me ask you this. You know, Danny and I post-election, man, we were sitting here, and this is no lie. I know all kinds of people in media and the world and whatnot. So I'm sitting here on Facebook, and I'm talking to a news anchor friend of mine. You know, just we're chatting on Facebook. You know, I got the laptop open. I'm watching the thing, and I'm like, this ain't supposed to be happening this way, you know?
Right.
Everybody's agreeing with me in my little social bubble of
right.
I guess, you know, college educated people. I shouldn't say that. That's a terrible thing for me to say, but kind of true. Anyhow, for a day or two afterwards, man, Danny and I were walking around like a couple bees in a hive where the queen had died or something. We didn't know what to do. You know, we're like, what happened? Yeah. Did we go to a parallel world? What is this? You know? And I think we were surprised that, and maybe the truth is we kind of do live in a bubble, in our little suburban bubble here in our upper middle class neighborhood, and we just weren't expecting that. Now, as a woman, as a female artist, as someone you know, who looks at the world and you know, shows it the way she sees it, how did you react after that? Did it mess you up for a couple days?
Oh my God, for like months. Like I think it was so interesting. Like, the other element of, I felt exactly the same way. I remember leaving my friend's we had a viewing party because we thought that Hillary was going to win, and we had champagne ready to go. It was like exactly like the SNL skit that, you know, all these white people sitting around a TV being like, how is this happening? And like every black person in the U.S. is like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. But it was literally like that. So my boyfriend and I walk out, it's like, whatever, 2 a.m. or whatever, walk to the subway, dead silence, everyone on the subway is crying, everyone. It was nuts. I've never seen anything like
that. Really?
In New York City, everyone's crying.
I've never seen people cry like that on a New York subway either. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. Or just like stone face, like staring at the floor. The next few days were just like that. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I couldn't stop thinking about was that, like, he lost, or he won to a woman, and he was also a known sexual predator, and she was actually qualified for the job, and he was the least qualified presidential candidate we've ever had. And
it was
just like,
painfully true.
It made me, it made everyone who is, you know, on whatever, most people on the left were incensed because he wasn't a qualified candidate, and he beat this woman who was so, it was just, it's still boggling to the mind, but it does, it kind of just shows, I don't think, if Hillary were the man, Hillary as a man would be our president, 100%.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I think it really comes down to like a very deep entrenched sexism that we are not past yet.
Well, I think that was the painful thing of this election and whatnot too, is it really showed some ugly skeletons we have in our closet, like you said, sexism, racism. We kind of for a while it was kind of nice to, oh yeah, those things happen. But man, those are way buried down in the closet there, and we don't have to deal with it. You know what I mean? It was an embarrassing moment of our past that we thought we had gotten past, and we hadn't.
And the Nazis are out. You know, they're out in public now.
Yeah.
And it's like they're there, and we need
how
to deal with it.
How the hell does that happen? Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. I have since all this happened, maybe become less political just because I got pissed off fatigue. I'm like, I can't be angry constantly.
All the time. I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't watch the news as much. I mean, I'll read a couple newspapers in the morning, I guess, but man, not like I used to, you know what I mean? And as a woman, a female artist, have you experienced something? So I'm just curious if you've experienced that also, that fatigue, or
totally.
Is it even more intense? You're more intense because you're dealing with it. Because you go to work and you do get catcalled, I imagine. Or there's idiots out there, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely have the same, you know, we all reach a point where we get, you know, news burnout. And I think that there's a balance you have to strike between staying informed and fighting, and also taking care of yourself and not, you know, going insane. So I kind of flip back and forth between being like, I don't read the news every day. I do keep up with the headlines and I know what's happening. And I read articles, but I'm not like scouring the news. I'm not, and I try not to look at my news app every day because it just pisses me off. But but there's also so much that we have to be doing right now.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-ring. TheC-ring.com.
You're right, and you can't. And I think you're making this album or this EP. Is it an EP or an album?
Album. It's full length. Yeah.
Album. Full length is a good step in that direction. It had, as artists, it's our job. You know, it was funny. After I was at a similar party a week and a half after all the election happened, and I'm kind of coming out of my fog at this party. You know, there was this middle-aged woman who is a it doesn't matter, but she very important big-time job, and she said to me, she said, Jamie, she goes, your job just got way harder, and I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you got to bring some beauty into the world, man, because we got some dark days ahead. You know, you're gonna have to work three times as hard now, and you know, it was interesting, and it's similar with you. Here you are. You have to put this out. We have to get the, you know, you're doing that. You're waving the flag, this particular, you know, hey, look at this, shining the light on it, you know, and I think that's a big responsibility, but you're doing a good job with it, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's kind of the least I can do right now, but also it has just helped me cope so much by kind of using my anger in a useful way.
Well, that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. Now, is the track that we're going to be playing, Spelling Lessons, is it available now, like on iTunes and all of that, Spotify and everything? Or has it yet to come out?
It's everywhere now.
Is out.
Yeah,
okay.
You can listen to it wherever you get music.
Nice.
And my everything is like, if you go to my social media pages, which all my handles are at Birch, B-I-R-C-H, Music, NYC.
Gotcha. And we have links.
Birch Music NYC, you can find everywhere.
Nice, nice. Sorry? And of course, the Spelling Lessons single will be going up on my website. We have our Pop Rocks Radio playlist that we do every year of all the music artists that come on that are on Spotify, which is 99% of them. It will be there, and I suggest listening to it 20,000 times. You know, so Birch can get that month summer.
Yes, please.
I'm kidding. Can't listen to it a lot. Let's play the track so people know what we're talking about. This is a fantastic track. Cool. I really, really like this.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Here it is, folks. This is Birch. This is Spelling Lessons. We're going to play it, then we'll talk a little more about it.
Like you're at the
There it is, folks. That was Birch, Spelling Lessons. Like I said, fantastic track. I really, really like that track a lot. And just really good music, Birch. Good job there, man. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, was this album, did it take a while to do from concept to execution, or did it, I know as an artist, when I do a painting, sometimes they come real quick, sometimes not, man. Nobody ever knows because I see the finished product. But man, some of these I want to throw in the street and jump up and down and tear my hair out. Was this artistically an easy one or a difficult one or a combination?
I would say it's a combination, but leaning towards difficult. I think a lot of these songs, the concept was there, and then, you know, having to I struggled with the lyrics on this album because they were so personal, and it was hard. And then I definitely was like kind of intense about, I think I edited and re-edited every song like multiple times. I have many different versions that a lot of these songs went through. But then there were a few that came really fast. And actually, I think Spelling Lessons was one of the ones that came very quickly. And then, you know, some of the others were a little harder.
Well, it's interesting to me because, again, we hear the finished product and we're like, oh, well, you know, there must have been nothing going on that Tuesday night when she just knocked this out, you know, and that it sounds simplistic or anything, but it just is so good. I can't imagine it not being, you know, just perfect from the get-go. But there's a lot of layers. You do use a lot of, and I guess that comes from your composition background and whatnot. Do you work a lot with programs and synthesizers and that type of thing?
Yeah, I use Ableton Live both in my live set and to produce a lot. So I co-produce this with my good friend Ariel Lowe is his name, and he produces bands like Yolklore and Kate Francis and Plastic Picnic and a bunch of Brooklyn bands that are doing kind of well right now. But he and I co-produced this one, and you know, I would start working on the concept, and then I would send to him, and then we'd meet up and record other parts. So we got my friend Chloe Rollins. She played flugelhorn on a lot of these tracks, so you'll hear flugelhorn in there. And then got
so common now, flugelhorn,
totally.
All of the contemporary.
It's so funny because like, Chloe is so amazing, and she's been playing on a bunch of different people's albums lately, like in the Brooklyn scene. So I think like Brooklyn is going to bring the flugelhorn into the spotlight.
Coming into her own.
It's pretty awesome.
Hey, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. But then
well, it's cool to have somebody play something like that too, as opposed to using a sample or I don't know what you call them, the different sounds they have on a synthesizer.
Different samples.
Yeah, that's cool, man, that you have an actual flugelhorn player. I bet whoever does the printing of the album has not seen that a lot. you know, when they do the album layout and whatnot.
Totally.
That's fantastic. It doesn't surprise me that's coming. That's such creative, interesting things coming out of Brooklyn. There's so many on all, so many levels of, you know, from crazy small business, you know. I watched a thing the other day on one of the TV channels, and they were talking about these guys have opened their own, I don't know what they call it, a cheese shop, but they make the cheese, they don't just sell cheese, and it was all this weird, crazy food cheese, and I'm like, and you see the guys, and they're like, yeah, they're 23 and 24, I'm like,
yeah,
I wasn't doing that at 23, you know.
I know, right?
Fantastic. Oh, man.
Yeah, a lot happened.
No, are you in that area? Are you part? Is it hard not to be inspired with all this this hotbed of creativity?
Yeah, I really like, I'm in Brooklyn, in like the Bushwick area where a lot of artists live. It's great. It's nice to be around a lot of like-minded people. But, you know, and there's tons of musicians who are just doing amazing things, and there's a lot of shows to go see. So there's a lot of creativity. it is a very big pond. That is the only hard part.
Right.
But it is, I wouldn't want to live in a small pond at this point in my life. So I'm enjoying it right now.
That's smart too. And it's better to get over that and to get into that. I mean, because it's very easy. It's very easy to be a big fish in a little pond. And that's the reality.
Right.
And I'll tell you folks, you're like, Jamie, how the hell do you, trust me. I was a big fish in a little pond for quite a while. and you have to get out of it because it creates, what happens is you start doing the same thing over and over and over.
Right.
And
it becomes stagnant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
And so you have to, you know, stretch yourself a little bit artistically, you know what I mean? That's just, and the thing we say that artistic, but really for artists and musicians, that's your life. You know, that it isn't just stretching yourself artistically, that's stretching yourself on all levels of who you are. Because,
right,
like with
right.
Joker, if you weren't doing music, man, you'd be going crazy. You know, it's obvious that's what you're doing. Yeah, so it's cool. It's cool. I have to ask. Now you mentioned your live set. Are you out playing live and whatnot as well, right now?
Yeah, we play around New York a lot. When I'm playing at, do you know what So Far Sounds is?
Mm-mm. But okay. Tell everybody about it.
It's pretty cool. It's in a lot of different cities. It's called So Far Sounds, and it's this organization that puts together living room concerts.
Nice.
And they have like, they're all over the world. And so people kind of offer up their homes and about like 40 to 50 people come, like pack out either like an apartment or a venue. I've done it in like a watch shop before. And this one's actually going to be in a church. So I'm doing that solo show in a couple weeks. And then we're going to do a big album release show at Union Pool, in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
On April 11th. The album's going to be out on April 5th. So that's the next show. And then I'm going to try to plan a little tour in May or June.
Fantastic. Well, fantastic. Well, you've made a new friend in South Florida, Boca, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, that neck of the woods. I always tell my musician friends this. We have a guest room and we're a 10-minute walk from the beach. And they're like, that's great. And then if people on tour, I mention this, and their heads explode. I say, and we also have a couple showers and a washer and dryer. And that excites them. They're like, yes, we're stopping
that's
by.
Huge.
Especially if you've been in a van with some smelly boys for a while. That's much needed sometimes.
Definitely.
Well, very, very cool. Well, it sounds like, you know, that things are happening, you know, and that's always a great place to be because that momentum just seems, it's like a snowball, you know, it just gets bigger and bigger and leads to other things. Now, I know we're promoting promoting spelling lessons and whatnot, but are the gears turning for the next project?
Yeah, well, I'm actually scoring a film right now.
I'm
writing the music for this feature film called Asking for It, and it's also like a feminist comedy / horror with Janine Garofalo is in it, which is super cool. I'm working on that right now, and I'm starting to write the songs for the next album. And I think this time around, you know, it isn't quite clear yet what the theme of the album will be, but I do know that it's a little bit more, a little bit less trying to make a statement about the greater world and a little bit more about my personal experience where I am in life right now. So,
we'll see what happens. And her boyfriend who never listens. I'm kidding. He listens all the time, I'm sure.
Exactly.
No, I'm teasing. All of my male audience just rolled their eyes. Like, did he talk to my girlfriend? No. My wife? No. Believe me, gentlemen, it's easier just to listen. You ain't going to win that battle. But whatever you do, don't parrot back what she said. That just pisses them off. No good. Don't do that. And if you do it, don't be snarky about it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, totally.
Tone of voice can affect so many things.
Tone of voice is a key element. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. It's so true. So true. And as my grandfather used to tell me when I was a little kid, he said, Jamie, everybody likes smart. Nobody likes smart ass. So, you know, especially girlfriends.
That's good advice. Smart.
Oh, man. Well, I do what I can to help. Parents, you know, like we said before, if you see your kid, and people should, you know, you should know your kid. If your kid's being a bully or if he's being if he's catcalling at girls or something, you know, kick his ass. Are you kidding me? Change that.
Yeah.
Help out here. We all have to live in this world. You know, nobody wants to deal with that. And, you know, honestly, look at your kids. You know, I know everybody's kid is the cat's meow and does no wrong, but, you know, when you see him doing wrong, you can handle that shit.
Yeah.
Before somebody else has to. You know? Shouldn't be their job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very, very cool. Well, the album's coming out April 5th, everybody. Now, can people pre-order this, or should we just, because I'll blow it out again comes out.
You'll be able to pre-order it pretty soon. I will have all that information up on my Facebook page. But you should be able to pre-order it like a month before the release. So keep an eye out for that.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we have a link up, ladies and gentlemen, to Birch Music New York City, or NYC, I should say, birchmusicnyc.com, which is Birch's website. And there's links at the website to all of her social media. And, you know, anybody's like, oh gosh, here he goes again. But it's so true. If you dig an artist, and I don't care if it's Birch or whomever, like and share the social media page. It's the landscape of the entertainment business world we live in right now. Birch will tell you, She has meetings with people. Oh, yeah. And a little term comes up that nobody has ever heard outside of entertainment. People usually in a suit with a ponytail will ask her, what's the engagement of the, you know, and that's what all that is. So important. And it sucks that we have to deal with that. No artists I know dig it, but it is part of it, you know?
Yeah, it's the worst part of it, but it's part of it.
Exactly. It certainly ain't playing on stage, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know, and I know you know this, Birch. You're real good. I'm going to tell you anyway. You're real good at what you do. Just keep
Thank
doing
you.
It, man. Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
You got it going. It's fantastic. I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And thank
Absolutely.
You so much for having me.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. Always here, whatever I can do to help get the word out. Very, very cool. And thank you for taking time to be on the show and whatnot, classing the joint up around here. Really appreciate that. And it's awesome. Absolutely, absolutely. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We do not have a show tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, local in South Florida, get to Wilton Manors to the Bona Restaurant and Gallery. I've got my big solo show there of Hollywood movie stars and icons and whatnot that I've painted. How many have I painted? 10 or 12 new, never-before-seen paintings, my pop style, will be on display tomorrow. It's the opening reception. You'll get to meet me and Danny and the whole gang, and get some free food and some wine. Not food, like they're not going to give you a rack of lamb, but they'll have fancy what do they call them, tapas or hors d'oeuvres, and it'll be a lot of fun. So if you're there, like I said, that's in Wilton Manor tomorrow. Details on my website, jimmyrocks.us, and then we're back Friday. We've got a very interesting. Singer-songwriter. Well, actually, it's a band, Sarah Wild and The Watch. They're out of Portland, Oregon, and they do Southern rock, which is really cool, but they kind of have a superhero theme going, so it's interesting. I was talking about this last night at that thing I was at. So it's a week of interesting women musicians. Love that, and an art show thrown in there, so there you go. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including up for free on Apple Podcasts. How about that? We're actually on about 95 podcasting platforms now, but Apple Podcasts is a big one. So if you are listening to the show on Apple Podcasts in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, like Birch, and that engagement thing comes up. Hit that ratings and review, doesn't cost you anything, keeps me up at the top of the page. And it just really annoys all my exes. No, I'm kidding. They probably don't even know about it. But it does help keep the lights on around here. And it comes in very handy when I'm talking to advertisers. So appreciate that. Okay. Well, have a great night, everybody. Birch, fantastic music. Just keep making more, man. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And folks, we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.